Welcome to episode number 213.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 213, being released on October 10th, 2018. And we're glad you're here, no matter what kind of an RV you have. We're for all kinds of RVers, whether you have a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent. Maybe you're just dreaming about getting one someday. Well, this show is for you because on this podcast, we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So welcome. We're very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, the RV lifestyle means different things to different people. And this week, we are going to hear from a collection of RVers that we just met at the ongoing California RV show. We talked to them about the many different ways that they use and enjoy their RVs and what part of the lifestyle they enjoy the most. Plus, we have lots of RV news for you this week, RV tips, and a great off-the-beaten-path report. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. We have done some traveling, haven't we, my dear?
We are busy people.
This has been...
Catch us if you can.
Yeah, I'm not even sure we've caught ourselves. We have been on the road for a month solid, but not just on the road, rushing from one fairly distant event to another. We've even had a fly to California. We've been out there on the West Coast the past few days, meeting all sorts of folks and hanging out at the huge California RV show in Pomona. It's our first time attending this annual fall show, which is, I think, in every way a rival to the September RV show in Hershey. They call that the world's largest. I think California is about the same size. The California event is huge. And then, of course, there's the January Tampa, Florida RV Super Show that's also about the same size as Hershey in California in terms of the number of rigs there and vendors. So, you know, it's hard to say which one is the biggest, but let's just say you can walk a lot of miles at Pomona and still not see everything.
This is the third RV show we've attended in as many weeks. First was Hershey, then the RV open house in Elkhart, and now the California show. If we had to take our impressions on all three of these shows and identify one or two big trends we saw, we'd have to say all the industry momentum seems to be focused these days on boondocking and smaller RVs like teardrops and Class B camper vans. The industry's clear emphasis is on drawing younger people into the RV lifestyle, and they're trying to do that with smaller, more efficient units that are able to do off-grid and sometimes off-road camping.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that assessment. I think the question that we probably were asked more than any other one over the weekend had to do with boondocking, and not necessarily by young people. There were some young people there, but I'd say campers of all sorts, and especially baby boomers, were expressing frustration to us over trying to book space in commercial campgrounds and state parks. There was also a lot of people who were really upset that, and they told us, you know, don't try and stay at a Walmart in California, for example, that the local communities up and down, particularly closer to the coast, those coastal communities have all banned RV overnight parking in Walmarts. It's not Walmart, that the Walmart welcomes them, but most of the property is owned by somebody else that Walmart's on. They usually don't own the property they're on, they just lease it. And those communities have had a lot of pressure put on by campground owners. And then there's a big homeless problem in California. So people were very frustrated. They couldn't boondock as much like, you know, overnighting in a Walmart. But so many RVs have been sold in recent years. And there are so many new RVers out there that we kept hearing how hard and how it's getting harder and harder to book a spot at a commercial or a state park type campground without making reservations long in advance. So RVers are increasingly looking towards boondocking. And that was a good thing for us because we just put out a new book called The Beginner's Guide to Boondocking. And sales have been amazing. I've been really surprised by how many we've sold. And I think a big reason of that for that is because of this general frustration over trying to find campground spots. We did, by the way, very much appreciate the kind words we heard from many people at that show who have already read our book. But in 3 days of doing meet and greets out there, we heard so many people talk about wanting to give boondocking a try. I'll put a link to that book in the show notes for this episode, which is at roadtrekking.com/213. We were also asked a lot where Bo was, and we explained that we left him back home because we had a fly out to California because we were there, but there was just not enough time for us to drive in our RV between all those shows that we had to attend. And our next event, which gets underway tomorrow, and that event is another one of our road trekking gatherings. It's the 8th one of these, and it's the last official road trekking gathering of the year. And this is going to be fun. It's on the prairie in the Flint Hills region of Kansas at the Flying W Ranch there. And the Flying W is a working cattle ranch. We'll be camped there with a bunch of other pals from the road trekking community and all sorts of different types of RVs. And we'll be participating in all sorts of things, including a Longhorn cattle drive, a photography tour, and something I know Jennifer's really looking forward to, that night stargazing party. We're going to have a telescope there, aren't we? And even an astronomer.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's good.
And as this podcast is being released, the Panhandle region of Florida is being affected by Hurricane Michael. Our thoughts and prayers are with those in the affected area. And this looks like a major storm, and it hits home for us, literally. As many of you know, we have a condo on Okaloosa Island near Destin, which is right in the thick of it all. We have been relying on friends, including road trekkers Les and Kathy Chanteau, who we want to give a big shout out to. They live in the area and have helped us move a car that we keep down there to higher grounds. Other friends have moved our patio furniture indoors too, but hurricanes are scary things, and we're hoping and praying that this one is not as bad as they say.
Along those same lines, I have received a news release from the Florida Campground Association. The Panhandle of Florida and the Emerald Coast, which is, of course, one of our most favorite beach areas in anywhere that we've ever been in the country. They're very popular with RVers. There's lots of campgrounds, and this is a very busy time as it's fall break for many of the southern schools, so lots of RVers have been flooding to that area. Well, many of the RV parks and campgrounds along Florida's Gulf Coast have had to close because Hurricane Michael is hitting. I have an official news release, and I should read this because I know a lot of people are planning to head there. The release says that RV parks and campgrounds along the coastal region from Destin to Cedar Key or from Santa Rosa County to Levi County are having to heed emergency evacuation orders and are closing their parks until the hurricane passes. This is from Bobby Cornwell, who's the executive director of the Florida Association of RV Parks and Campgrounds. Some RV parks further inland in the Panhandle region may still be open. However, RVers and campers are advised to travel west of Pensacola or east of Madison to stay away from the storm's path. Inland RV parks and campgrounds are being used to accommodate visitors and hurricane evacuees, so they're going to be full. Those seeking campground accommodations should have no trouble finding RV sites in Florida, as the campgrounds in the northeast region, the center, and the southern parts of the state are far enough from the storm path and are open to visitors and evacuees. So you'll have to head that way. For a list of campgrounds and RV parks, look at the show notes. I have which ones are open, which ones are closed, a link to the campflorida.com site. And also information on RV park availability. You can find that in our show notes. We'll link to their Camp Florida Facebook page. Just find that in the show notes for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/213. Meanwhile, lots of other RV news and happenings that we thought you'd like to know about this week.
Have you cast your vote during Fat Bear Week? Alaska's Katmai National Park and Reserve runs a March Madness-style competition where the public gets to vote on which bear appears the heaviest each day, October 3rd through the 9th. Packing on the pounds is a matter of life and death for the bears, which can lose one-third of their weight during hibernation. Katmai started their competition a few years ago to bring attention to the bears, famous for their salmon fishing, and it has really caught on. Katmai is the same park we featured in August on the podcast for attracting literally thousands of followers from around the world with their bear cam. The park's Fat Bear Week is another fun activity the park holds to interact with the public through social media. We'll put links to photos and much more in the show notes at roadtrekking.com/213.
Now, I know, you know, that that competition runs the 3rd through the 9th, and this is being released on the 10th, but you can see all that stuff. It's pretty funny to look at these bears and how much weight they have packed on as they've gorged on the salmon. And as Jennifer said, links to that bear cam, all that stuff is on the show notes. Another big story, conservationists calling for a limit to daily visitors in some of Canada's most popular national parks. Like the U.S. national park system, the Canadian parks are also seeing record number of visitors. This is part of what we've been talking about with this. The industry keeps selling these RVs, but they're not building more parks. They're not helping do the infrastructure of the parks for all these people. Same thing's happening in Canada. And the result is massive congestion, inadequate parking, damage to the ecological system. Number of stories out this past week about the problems in Canada from all this overcrowding. The conservationist pointed to the closure of Waterton Provincial or Waterton National Park last year. They had to close that briefly because of overcrowding, which was a first. They stressed that something needs to be done. We agree with that. We visited Banff last year, and we wanted to get to Johnston Canyon. There was no parking for as much as 3.5 miles in every road leading up to that area. So, good luck. Again, the industry keeps selling these things, but we're not building new campgrounds. We're not fixing the infrastructure of our national parks. And so we gotta do something about that.
New trade agreements between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico to replace NAFTA will benefit the RV industry, the RV Industry Association said in a press release last week. Motorhomes and travel trailers are not included in the PAC's rules of origin for motor vehicles. And the agreement includes language exempting Canada and Mexico from future U.S. tariffs on imported automobiles and parts.
Again, we'll put a link to that story, but that is good news to the industry. That means that the RVs aren't going to get extra. They're going to get caught up in all that political stuff. Sad news this week on another death while hiking in the Smoky Mountains, which is the 11th death from various causes in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park this year. Apparently, a mother and daughter who, by all accounts, were experienced hikers, were hiking for several days in the backcountry. They were agreeing to separate for a time so the daughter could get more miles before meeting up at an agreed-upon place. And when the mother never arrived at that destination, the daughter alerted authorities. They started a search, and the mother's body was found last week. No foul play. But the whole story reminded me of the importance of hiking safety, something that is good for everyone to review from time to time. I will link on the show notes to an interview we did with a hiking specialist about this last year. Again, roadtrekking.com/213.
Fall is one of our favorite times to camp, but knowing where to go for optimal color viewing can be a bit tricky. That is why I'm excited to share a map of the entire continental U.S., color-coded and adjustable by date, to see when colors are expected to be most brilliant near you. We'll put a link to the map in the show notes at roadtrekking.com/213.
Here in Michigan, where we're recording this one before we head off to Kansas, I'd say we're pretty close to complete color, don't you think?
Yeah, 1 week. Maybe it is peak color. Northern Michigan. North.
Yeah, I think so. We were gone, you know, from last Thursday until late last night, and I noticed when we pulled in the driveway, there were all these leaves that had fallen in just a few days. So that's what they call it fall, I guess. But those beautiful trees, they're dropping those leaves way too fast.
They always drop their leaves a little too fast because it's such a beautiful time of the year.
Yeah, I love it. So peak color this weekend if you can get out camping if you live in any of the northern states. This part of the podcast brought to you by Steinbring Motor Coach, Road Trek's big dealer up there in Garfield, Minnesota, in the beautiful Chain of Lakes region. Steinbring is built on two things: quality motorhomes and excellent pricing and service. We invite you to go to the SteinbringMotorCoach.com website. You need to check these guys out. They're family. Has been bringing you the best products and services within the transportation industry now for 101 years. They have been in the transportation industry since 1917. They got into RVs right about when motorhomes started to boom, and their sales staff has decades of experience in helping you find exactly what's right for you. There are so many different kinds of RVs out there, so many different kinds of motorhomes. What do you want? What kind do you need? Do you need a Class A? A Class B? What fits you best? A Class C? Maybe it's a diesel pusher or a gas or a toy hauler. That's why you want to spend some time talking to the pros at Steinbrings, who will talk to you about your lifestyle, what you want out of RVing. Their quality service and their attention to detail results in Steinbring being named a Blue Ribbon dealer by RV Business Magazine year after year after year. They are a top 50 dealer. They win all the competitions of all sorts of other companies every year because of that great reputation for quality and service. They are a new dealer for, in other words, they sell new motorhomes. They've been a dealer for Newmar Class A motorhomes for a number of years, but new Newmars from Steinbrings, beautiful lineup for 2019. And they also have new Road Trek Class Bs. They also have lots of pre-owned coaches from popular brands like Winnebago, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood. You might think that you can't afford to get an RV. Talk to the folks at Steinbring. Jennifer and I, we started off by buying a used RV. And when we sold it, we were able to sell it for almost what we paid for it. So talk to these guys. They can get you in an RV, but the right RV for you. That's why we love to recommend Steinbrings. Check them out there in Garfield, Minnesota. That's right in the middle of the beautiful Chain of Lakes region. And man, if you could get up there this time of year, you would love it. It's so gorgeous, and the trees are all almost at peak color. Steinbring Motor Coach. Tell them you heard about them on the RV podcast.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
One of my favorite things about camping is gazing up at the night sky. Seeing all the stars, the Milky Way, even the moon just thrills me. There is nothing like the display that happens every clear evening when you're camping in the woods. And it is something which most of us never fully appreciate at home in our sticks and bricks house, either because we are so busy at home we don't take time to gaze up, or because the light pollution in our cities muddy the view. From time to time, there are national, even international, events aimed at getting people to look up at the sky. And one such event is coming up October 20th. It is the International Observe the Moon Day, held sometime typically in September or October every year. The event started in 2010 and is held when the moon is at its first quarter, because a first quarter moon is typically visible in the late afternoon or evening, and it provides the best lunar viewing because shadows are at the longest. I want to tell you about this event because special activities will be held throughout the country and even world. Many spots will open their telescopes to the public on October 20th with chances to view the moon, and experts will hold informative talks. Many of these events are held in planetariums and near cities, so you don't need to be out in the woods to participate. I'll close a link to the NASA information site along with a location finder. Where will you be October 20th? See to it that you can attend the closest event near you, so the next time you're out camping and look up, you can appreciate what you're seeing just a little bit more. And be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox. I love hearing from you.
This part of the podcast brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of this program. We hear ask a lot about e-bikes as we are out in California. There is a great interest in RVers of all types for e-bikes. They're just a perfect thing to bring along on an RV trip to do some exploring, some trail riding. Jennifer and I have two of them. We have the Rad Power Bikes City Bike model. Mine's kind of the traditional guy's bike with the center bar. Jennifer has the step-through model. We used to call them girls' bikes, but, well, they don't call them that because not just girls use them anymore. They're step-through. They're really easy to get on and off. Rad Power Bikes is a consumer-direct brand, and that's why I like to recommend them so much, because you get a premium, high-quality electric bike. But you don't have to pay those huge markups caused by dealers and third-party retailers. In fact, Rad Power Bikes are often priced at less than half. Do you hear that? Less than half the price of comparable bikes on the market, because that markup chain is cut out. They have a number of different bike models, and all of them have large batteries, updated frames, new color options, and some great accessories. But know this, that their bikes all have the most powerful motor that you can have, 750 watts of power, and still have street legal status, meaning you don't have to have a special license to ride it anywhere that you can ride a bicycle. They all can reach 40 miles per hour with zero pedaling. They all give riders the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle. And you can utilize five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost. So check them out. You get $75 off if you use the promo code ROADTREKKING when you check out. $75 off, plus you'll get free shipping. We have a video of our Rad Power Bikes in action, of the ones Jennifer and I have, and you can see that in the show notes for this episode. That's at roadtrekking.com/213. Just scroll down and you'll see the bit about Rad Power Bikes, and you can click and watch that. But check out the site itself, radpowerbikes.com.
You're listening to the RV Podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the RVPodcast.com travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
We had a ball at the California RV Show, and one of the questions we ask everybody was, what does the RV lifestyle mean to you?
So we thought we might as well roll the camera and share it all with you and make it our interview of the week.
So we spent several hours each day doing meet and greets, getting a chance to talk to the people who came by to say hello, and it was so much fun.
It really is to put some faces to the people that we're talking to, because we don't know who's out there, and it's great fun to meet them.
Tell me your name, and what does the RV lifestyle mean to you?
My name is Ariel, and a lot of it is just seeing the country, and I've cross-countryed in a car, and it's not the same as actually seeing it and experiencing it. We've got so many beautiful national parks throughout this country that I want to see it in person.
And why an RV?
You can go into the park and spend several days as opposed to staying at a Marriott or a Hilton outside of the park and having to go in and fight the crowds for parking when you're already inside the national parks. It's actually experiencing it when people have already gone home, and going into the park and experiencing the evening and early hours in the morning when the animals are coming out and possibly a bear or a deer coming through the campground. That would be fascinating to see.
When you spend the night there, like you say, and you wake up in the morning with the first light and the fog, and
the animals and everything, or the evening, that's I think when the animals, because you haven't done this yet.
I haven't done this yet.
In the evening, that's when you're more apt to have
really?
The bison come through your campground, and that is so much fun. That is so exciting.
See, that's what I want to experience, because right now, I'm in a car, I go in with the crowds, and then I have to leave before sunset with the crowds, and I don't get to stay in the park and experience what it's really like inside the park.
You're going to love it.
I certainly hope so.
You will.
Then Mark Hopkins.
And Mark, what does the RV lifestyle mean to you?
Well, it means right now patience with ordering one that's just the way you want it. It's home away from home, and it's taking, the big backyard approach.
Hey, that's
all
pretty
way.
Cool t-shirt. Show everybody that. Where did you get that t-shirt?
I found it on your site.
Oh, no kidding. No, I like that. It looks good on you.
We gotta make something for Hitch.
Yeah, Hitch, you need one.
Well, Hitch is, the lifestyle for him is relaxing no matter where he is. That's the...
Now, you've had one on order, and you're about ready to get one.
I am.
What's your first trip gonna be?
Well, it'll be a trip to Florida to see family. And I will be vacationing in a campground in Key West for the month of January.
Ken and Barbara Longeway. We currently live in New Mexico, looking to relocate. We've had two other motorhomes before, a Class C and a Class A, and we want to go down to a Class B that I can drive, and we can visit relatives that are located all over the country and not have to be in a campground, because several of them live in places that are nowhere near a campground. Take the cat with us and not have to leave her with a sitter, and just have total freedom of, hey, let's go somewhere this weekend and do it.
And with the RV lifestyle, we've learned how to take baths, like a Navy shower. We know how to learn how to minimize the use of water, how we can heat water without needing a lot of electricity and stuff. So when we have problems at the home, we can revert to our RV lifestyle learning and not lose a beat.
Hi, I'm Paul Erickson. RV lifestyle, gosh, well, we enjoy getting out when we can. We've never spent any time boondocking per se, but we enjoy traveling the country. Earlier this year, we took off from our home in Vancouver, Washington, visited family in Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho, great grandkids in Montana, before we went on to Crazy Horse in order to Nebraska to visit my wife's aunt. Then we swung home through Jackson, Wyoming, where another sister lives, and then on into Idaho Falls, where we're originally from, and back home. So this trip, we're out. We went to Mesa, Arizona to visit a grandson, and then we came here to Pomona to meet Mike and Jennifer and catch up with the road trek people here. So we're headed out later today for Vancouver and home.
So what are you doing when you're all these places? What do you like about it?
Gosh, well, on this trip, we actually stopped and hiked the south rim of the Grand Canyon, which is a lot of fun. And, of course, when we're like in Montana with the great-grandson, they're a hoot. Just to get together with those five little boys, they never stop moving and just trying to keep up with them. And then, of course, with sisters and brothers, it's just laugh and joke and kid each other and eat a lot, of course, when you're traveling like that. But
do you wish you'd started earlier?
Well, actually, we started with a tent when our kids were really young. Then we went to a tent trailer, and then a Toyota chassis RV, little coachman. And then we went to a Class C, Jayco, and that's when the grandkids traveled with us a lot, to Disneyland, Yellowstone Park.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just get out and do anything and everything we can. We did take the one RV to Orlando one time to go to Disney World.
So you use it for transportation, or would you live in it? What do you like?
I don't know that we're ready to live in it, so we just like to use it to get from point A to point B to do stuff. And most of that stuff is with family.
But you camp in it, right?
Oh, yeah. We just haven't boondocked much. We usually end up in some RV park before we plug in the power and let her go.
Well, you got to get our boondocking book.
That's why. Yes, we do. Because we want to try some of that.
It's a great way to go.
Yeah, I believe that.
So the people who are thinking about the lifestyle, what do you say?
Oh, go for it. I mean, you're never too early to start. I mean, goodness gracious, I retired from full-time work 9 years ago, or eight, yeah, 9 years ago now. And so we get out at least once a month and go somewhere for 3 days.
My name is Gail Geiger. I retired 6 years ago. Within 2 months, I went out and bought an RV. And I've tried three of them in the last 6 years. And they've all been Sprinters. Love the Sprinter. Had a Road Trek SS Agile recently. We like to do backcountry in Death Valley or Borrego Springs, or there's always some dirt roads back there. And so we thought going 4x4.
So you got a 4x4?
Yes.
Well, you do go backcountry.
Well, I don't know about the RV, but at least we know it can go there.
Yeah. What do you like about the backcountry?
Oh my gosh, since we were little kids, we would go, our father and parents would take us out in Jeeps and things out back, you know, way away kind of thing too. But now we go with a couple of vehicles together, you know, with the water and the tow and the satellite phone and, you know, all the safety things. But Death Valley's exquisite.
Death Valley?
You have to get back, uh-huh.
Really?
Yes.
It's a little hot there, isn't it?
Very. Yeah, about November is about the time to start thinking of going.
Really?
Yeah, to go in the wintertime and the summers.
And what about the flowers? What about the snakes and scorpions and things like that?
Well, the snakes come out in the spring when it gets warm. That's anywhere in the desert. But it's the springtime in the desert is probably the prettiest place in the world. And you'll be on a little road somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden you'll see this gorgeous cactus in bloom all by itself. You're 23 miles off the main highway, and you just stand there staring at it. It's so pretty.
You know, people hear you talk about that and they say, oh, aren't you ever worried about your safety out there?
Yes, it's a number one thing is water, never less than two vehicles. We have winches, extra fuel, and we have satellite phones. And so that if you, I would urge your listeners, if they, some of the ones that, you know, you had stories where they got stranded because they didn't have a cell signal. A satellite phone, you will pick up a signal anywhere. And we carry one, in fact, we carry two of them, like as a backup. Yeah. So that you could be in the middle of nowhere and you could still dial out and call somebody. So it's really a good thing to carry around.
Are satellite phones very expensive?
Yes. The way iPhones now, they're still $1,000, $1,200 or whatever. So a satellite phone would be in that range. The thing that's most expensive about it is you're paying almost $60 a month not to use it, just to have it. So if you, it's not a hi, honey, hello, how are you phone, you want to talk for 5 hours, because they charge you by the minute.
Yeah.
So the whole idea is just to have it. And then if you ever did get in a situation, you'll always have a signal where you can call out.
That's great.
My name is Jim Hands. That's my name, and it's the road trekking, really. I stumbled onto your podcast and came to the Pomona RV show about 2 years ago, met Jim Hamill and the crew, and really liked it. Long story short, we got a used 190 Versatile, upgraded to a 210 Popular. We love it. It's nice to go. It's nice to be able to have that freedom to go where you'd like to go and to go off the beaten path. And it's just been really nice to be together and going seeing family and things like that and being able to get away from family in a quick kind of, sometimes we just leave the motor running and we come back out when it gets a little crazy. But we really enjoy it and we're looking forward to putting many more miles on it.
My name is Mary Lou Young, and the RV lifestyle, which I've been doing for years, means freedom. Freedom to go where I want, see who I want, visit friends and family, and just have the openness of the road. And we take the blue roads instead of the freeways so that we can go on the back roads. And we've been all over, even into Canada, and just absolutely love it.
I can't begin to tell you how much fun it is to meet other folks who share your love of the RV lifestyle.
You know, sometimes we kind of think we're just doing this in a vacuum because we're basically talking to a camera or a computer, and we forget that there are really people out there. Sometimes we say, oh, nobody is listening to this, and it's really fun to meet these people, isn't it?
It was. It was great.
And what I really enjoyed about it is the many different ways people are enjoying the RV lifestyle. It's not just, you know, go camp someplace and go home for the weekend. This
so many different ways. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed all of this and would love to hear your story someday and what the RV lifestyle means to you.
Now, this was a video that we made as well, and you can find that in the show notes and on our RV Lifestyle YouTube channel. But we had a great time meeting all those people.
Our California friends.
Yep, and it was just fun. We had somebody, that Barbara and her husband Ken, flew all the way from New Mexico to meet us out there. That was really humbling.
Yes, that was very sweet of them to do that. And we had a lot of folks from Las Vegas.
Yeah, a lot of people drove over from Las Vegas, and some drove from up in Northern California. And it was really great. We came away with the feeling that we need to spend at least a month out there whenever we can to fully appreciate it. We wanted to get away and go over to Joshua Tree National Park, which was probably the closest national park to us where we were in Pomona. That's like about 2.5 hours up by or down by Palm Springs, but we couldn't do it. We couldn't get away. It was kind of frustrating because California is such a great state, beautiful state.
Well, hopefully next year.
Next year. The interview of the week. Oh, again, I want to remind you, there is a full video of that on the show notes. So just scroll down the show notes and you can watch all those people and you can meet our friend Mark there when we talked about Hitch, who his little dog he had with him. And there's also a transcript of our interview of the week. We try and do that every week now. We had a little discussion with that on our Facebook group this week. Somebody said, well, I don't like listening to podcasts. And, well, gosh, that's what podcasts are meant to be listening to. But we do try and do a transcript of it as well as the video. So you got it all three ways, video, audio, or transcript. And the interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com from Gainesville, Florida, where every new or used motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. Sunshine State RVs have been a sponsor here for a couple of years now. And I think I can say with great confidence that you will not find a larger selection of used Class B RVs anywhere in North America. That's what they specialize in. They also sell brand new Road Track RVs, brand new Coachman RVs, brand new, I think they got Chinook RVs. I think they have the Hymer RVs as well. But they really are known for having the largest inventory of used Class B RVs from all of the major manufacturers like Road Track, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel. If you're looking for a used Class B, this is the place to start. SunshineStateRVs.com. You will not find a wider selection anywhere else. And whether you buy a new one or a used one, every RV that Sunshine State RVs sell has been through a very thorough 172-point inspection in which they ensure that all of the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. Every RV is road tested to make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior components just as entirely as the outside. Every component turned on, tested, they make sure it works before they send it to you. And all of their used RVs are thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out. Check them out, SunshineStateRVs.com.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
And joining us from Verizon Wireless, here's Andy Choi.
Hi, Mike. Here's a question. Would you rather lose your cell phone or lose your favorite sports team to another city? According to a new Verizon survey, 34% of Americans would rather see their favorite team leave for another city than lose their smartphone. 39% would rather lose their favorite athlete to another team than lose that mobile phone. A few more interesting stats from this latest survey. With more than 1,000 people responding, 1 in 4 mobile phone owners report they've broken, damaged, or lost their phone while out and about, with sporting events leading to the demise of 16.9 million phones. The bottom line is Americans are getting clumsier with their phones. Verizon survey found 56% of mobile phone owners have broken or lost their phones in 2018, up from 49% in 2016. But Americans are also taking steps to remedy the problem. The majority have invested in protective gear or insurance plans. This new survey has been released in conjunction with the start of the enrollment period for Verizon's Total Mobile Protection Program, an equipment protection program that protects Verizon customers' mobile devices from theft or damage for as low as $10 a month. As a member, customers are eligible to receive next-day and in-home repairs of their devices. Total Mobile Protection's open enrollment is available now until November 25th. You can find more information on VerizonWireless.com. So wherever you go beyond the confines of your RV, you never know when you might need that Total Mobile Protection. For this week's Traveling Technology Tip, I'm Andy Choi with Verizon.
And this part of the podcast is brought to you by Verizon, which operates America's most reliable wireless network.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
This week we've got Tom Burkett. He's flying solo this week. Patty is off doing some other adventure, so Tom's doing the traveling. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hey, Mike and Jennifer. Patty's off in New England this week, so it's just me. Despite the fact we love to travel together, sometimes it works out that a solo trip makes sense. Do you two ever do that? Go off by yourselves? Anyway, I know some people will be making their way west for the road trek cattle drive soon. Kansas seems like a 300-mile-long farm field if you drive through it on I-70, but if you get off the four-lane, there's a world of things to see out there among the wheat fields and down in the river drainages. Kansas City has the world's first shopping center built for cars and legendary barbecue. Wichita has an amazing riverfront, and Topeka is rich in history and beautiful city parks, but you won't be surprised when I encourage you to spend your exploring time in small towns. Off the beaten path travel is all about small towns. The last generation highways and two-lane roads that wind through every state go right down the main street of every county seat, shipping terminal, and string town strip built since we began to travel on four wheels. Transportation has had a vivid impact on the landscape of gas stations and post offices. The fortunes of many a settlement have been made or lost from the siting of a canal, a railroad, or a highway. For better or worse, we humans have a deep-seated loyalty to place, and I've talked to many a resident of a dying town who would no sooner consider moving to another town than moving to the moon. Now, Patty and I enjoy a good hike to a beautiful viewpoint or camping by the side of a lake, but what we enjoy most is exploring the history and lives of the towns we come across. Whether it's the Midwest, Deep South, or Mountain West, a majority of small towns have fallen on hard times. Centralized manufacturing has largely done away with the small forge that used to make implements for local farmers. Corporate agriculture has taken away the farm families that shopped on the local main street. And instantaneous access to a world of culture and information has made young and old alike yearn for a broader and less parochial experience. In some small towns, civic leaders and local philanthropists have gone at the problem vigorously and have, through a variety of projects, revitalized the community. Sometimes the revival has centered on an attraction that brings pride and tourist dollars. In other cases, a boutique or specialized industry has been the key. What makes it work in some places while others struggle mightily is a question we've been thinking about for some time. Take, for example, Lucas, Kansas. We visited Lucas in the spring, outside of the typical tourist season. Just outside of town is a beautiful Corps of Engineers lake with three full-service campgrounds. We joined a handful of off-season campers along the shore. Lucas bills itself as the grassroots art capital of Kansas. It's home to the Garden of Eden. In 1902, Samuel Dinsmore, a Civil War veteran, built his wife a home from carved limestone logs. He then proceeded to form concrete trees around it to display an extraordinary collection of figures he created. It's an otherworldly experience to see this assemblage in the early morning light. Downtown, you'll find the country's number two best public restroom, so voted in 2014. It's amazing, with specially themed men's and women's areas. There's an art shop that offers classes, at least three studios of outsider artists, and a restored 1930s movie theater. Still, when we visited, there was not a soul in sight on the streets. At the library, we chatted with Mary Ann, the librarian. It's a real struggle, she told us. We're trying to bring this town back to life, and we've got a lot to work with. There's the Garden of Eden, she's a tour guide, and the movie theater where we show a new movie every week, she's a projectionist, and our award-winning restroom, she organized the fundraising. Still, things are tough. Brandt's Meat Market, an area institution in the home of Czechoslovakian ring bologna, closed in January after 75 years in the same family. A few months earlier, the town grocery store shut its doors. They were doing a good business, said Marianne, but the young couple who ran it felt stifled by small-town life, and when they moved away, nobody was interested in taking it over. The convenience store out by the highway is putting on an addition so they can carry more stuff, and that's good for everyone, but it's not like having a grocery store downtown. It's just not the same. Folks in Locust are working hard to keep their town alive. The outsider art is beginning to draw in more visitors. Brandt's new owners plan to reopen it soon. Fishing at nearby Wilson Lake keeps the gas station and a downtown cafe open, and Marianne is hopeful. We'll figure it out, she says. We hope she's right. Places like this enrich not only the ones who live there, but also those of us who just stop by for a visit. We look at the hours and dollars we spend out here as an investment in the fabric that keeps us all resilient and challenged. We hope to see you out here, too, along the roads that lead off the beaten path.
Oh, thank you so much, Tom, for another great story. And Lucas, Kansas, who would have think? There's so many great stories that come out of there. And Tom, you do a wonderful job, as always, of talking about it. Off the Beaten Path is brought to you by Harvest Hosts, a great RV owner's membership site that provides truly unique overnight stops at wineries and farms and all sorts of attractions. Now, if you like these Off the Beaten Path reports, then you're going to love Harvest Hosts, because that's what Harvest Hosts is. They are so far removed from what passes as camping today, you know, at those commercial campgrounds. I call them tinaminiums because they're, you know, you're usually 2 feet away from a Class A skyscraper or a fifth wheel, and everybody's right on top of each other. It's hard to get in. There's congestion. Not at Harvest Host. Harvest Host, you pay you don't pay $30 to $50. You don't pay a cent. You join the service, and we give you a 10% discount. We'll tell you about that in a minute. But you join the service, and then you have access to find all sorts of spectacular, out-of-the-way places to stay, like wineries, right on the grounds, among the vineyards, farms of all types all over North America. From lavender farms to maple sugar farms to fruit orchards and vegetable fair. Now, you need to be self-contained, and you have to call ahead and arrive during business hours, and you also have to be a member of Harvest Host. But your stay is free. Though, to be polite, you know, it's kind of expected you buy a bottle of wine or some fruit or some veggies or something. Harvest Host costs $49 a year, but I got 10% off on that if you go to roadtrekking.com/HarvestHosts, and then you enter the discount code HHFriends. HHFriends is the discount code. RoadTrekking.com, Harvest Hosts, you will get 10% discount when you use that address. You will be thrilled. No more $30 to $50 overnight fee in a crowded campground. No more being awakened by all the noise and lights at a Walmart. Harvest Hosts offers overnight stops in great out-of-the-way places like wineries and farms and attractions. You check them out, roadtrekking.com/HarvestHosts.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, like we told you about at the top of the show, the California RV Show is still underway. It really runs over 2 weekends. It started on October 8th, but it ends on the 14th, which is next Sunday. So you can check it out. It's at the LA Fairplex in Pomona, California. A big show, lots and lots of brand new 2019 RVs to look at the California RV Show. October 11th through the 14th is the Jacksonville Fall RV Show at the Morocco Shrine Auditorium in Jacksonville, Florida. Also, October 11th through the 14th, it's the Salem Fall RV Show at the Oregon State Fair and Expo Center in Salem, Oregon. And up in Ontario, Canada, October 12th through the 14th, it's the Toronto Fall RV Show and Sale at the Toronto Congress Center in downtown Toronto, Ontario.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so ends another episode of the RV Podcast. We're about ready to hit the road and make our way to Kansas, where we will be spending the next several days at one of our road trekking gatherings out there, rounding up longhorn cattle, riding horses, hanging around the prairie, going to have a great time. Hey, remember, if you'd like to have your voice heard and be a part of this podcast, you can record a voicemail question or leave us your comments by clicking the right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. We have new content on roadtrekking.com every single day. We invite you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever your favorite podcast app happens to be. New episodes are released every Wednesday morning. We invite you also to join our mailing list. We send out a special newsletter about RV happenings to subscribers every Monday morning. It's absolutely free. You can sign up for that at roadtrekking.com. Just go down the right-hand side. You'll see a little form there. And don't forget our YouTube channel. It's loaded with helpful videos on the RV lifestyle. That's the RVLifestyleChannel.com. You'll find us there, RVLifestyleChannel.com. Hey, thanks for listening. Till next time, I'm Mike Wendland, road trucker across North America. So long, everybody. We'll see you down the road. Happy trails.